For the past 5 weeks, we've been focusing on the question, is Jesus really Lord? As you know, we're spending this whole year dealing with that question. If Jesus is Lord, then what? Beginning next Sunday, we're going to talk about the fact that if Jesus is Lord, then I live my life in the shadow of the cross. And we're going to be aiming toward Easter as we look at what it means to say the shadow of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ falls across my life in all kinds of ways. But for today, I want us to finish up asking that question, is Jesus really Lord? Over the last few weeks, we've really been looking at that. We looked at what the Old Testament had to say about the lordship of Jesus Christ. We discovered what the New Testament declared about Jesus as Lord. We looked at what Jesus said about himself as he made claims of lordship for his own life. So before we finish today, I want us to look together at one final truth that is the foundation of everything we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Lord? Yes, Jesus is Lord. What kind of Lord is he? He is a Lord of love. When we look at the lordship of Jesus, we recognize we are dealing with the love of Christ. And so this morning, I want us to talk together about what it means to say we serve a loving Lord. We serve a loving Lord Jesus. And what does his love mean in your life and in mine? So let's jump in together. And the first thing you'll see is this. The essential nature of the Lord is love. You know, last week we walked together through what the Bible has to say about that day. That day when all of history comes to a conclusion. About that day when everything that is temporary is swallowed up by everything that is eternal. And as a part of that message, I was compelled to tell you that on that day, the day of judgment, some will be saved and some will be lost. And you needed to know that because you needed to know of all the decisions you make in your life, saved or lost, is right at the very top of it all. It's become popular in recent years among a lot of people, lost people, to ask the question, but is that really true? How could a loving God allow people to spend eternity separated from him in hell? How could a loving God do that? But that's the wrong question. The real question is this. Why would a holy God make a way for sinful people to get into heaven? What's in it for him to let people like you and people like me into this perfect place in eternity? Why would a just God let people come into heaven? And there's only one answer. And that answer is love. Why does God let you into heaven? Because God loves you. Not because of who you are, but in spite of who you are. Not because you've earned it, but because he wants to give it to you. His love is why the Lord opened the door for everyone who will receive what he alone can offer. Forgiveness for sin and everlasting life. As we move into the shadow of the cross over these next few weeks, we're going to discover that love is the motive behind everything Jesus did and everything Jesus gave in order to become that perfect sacrifice for you and me. How do I know this is true? Is it because I believe it? Is it because somebody taught me? No, it's because that's what Jesus said. Matthew 18:11, the Son has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to seek and to save. That's not all he said. To understand what Jesus said in Matthew 18:11, you got to see what happens next. And Cynthia, we hadn't talked about what we were doing this morning, but thank you so much, because right after Matthew 11, Jesus begins to tell the story of the good shepherd. He begins to tell the story of that shepherd who had one missing and what he did. Jesus talked about the one who had 100 sheep and realized one had gotten separated from the flock. Now, what did that mean? That meant this one little sheep, this one little lamb was separated out. He was exposed. He was in danger of the elements. He was in danger of all of the predators around him. He had no way to protect himself. It was his own fault. The reason he was lost is because he never paid attention. He didn't listen to what the shepherd was saying. He didn't follow where the shepherd was leading, and now he was lost. Maybe he had stubbornly chosen his own way. Maybe he thought the pastures he saw to the side were more appealing than the ones the shepherd provided. What happened? How did he get lost? How did he drift away? How was it that he was separated from the flock? Well, here's the interesting thing. Jesus never says how he got lost. He never explains how he lost his way. Instead, he just knows, he just says he was lost. And then listen to the conclusion of the story. Does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one who is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices over that sheep more than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That is a picture of the love of God that reaches out to the lost and the least to bring them home to heaven. If you don't have anything else to praise God for today, if you don't have anything else to stand before Him in awe and say thank you, you hear this. It is not the will of the Father that any one of these little ones should perish. How big is the love of God? It's as big as every one of us. It's as big as all of us. When that day comes and you stand before Him in judgment, if you're not allowed into heaven, it won't be His fault. It will be your own. It will be because you've looked straight into the eyes of His love and you've said, not for me. I'll go my own way. I don't want to hear what you're saying, but it won't be because He did not love you. Here's one of my favorite quotations of all time. It comes from Max Lucado, and this is what he said. He said, God will never send a person to hell. They will choose to go by themselves. The only way that anybody will ever go to hell, Jesus says, the only way anybody will ever go to hell is over my dead body. Isn't that strong? Over my dead body. And that is the power of the cross. And that's where we're headed next week. What is he saying? Everybody that Jesus sees is somebody Jesus loves. A love that saves, a love you can trust. In fact, Jesus says the only people he's not trying to save in this world are the people who are saved. And other than that, he wants everybody to come home. But his love for you doesn't end with your salvation. So many people have come to believe that once you get saved, once you're in a right relationship with God, once eternity is settled, then that's all that there is to it. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that's just the beginning. His love for you is just beginning to be extended into your life when he gives you eternal life. And then you move forward. That's why one of my favorite passages in the Bible is John 15. About a year ago, we spent a number of Sundays learning what Jesus meant when he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. But in the midst of that incredible passage are two commands that Jesus expects every believer to obey. The first one is this, abide in me. Abide in me. If you belong to me, abide in me. What does that mean? That means find your hope, find your security, find your strength, find your confidence, find your purpose in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Abide in me. And then the second command is this, and abide in my love. Let the love that he has for you be the most real experience of your life. You know, over the course of a lifetime, there are going to be all kinds of folks that we love and that love us back. Some of those folks will be folks that we know and love for a lifetime. Some folks will be part of our life for a portion of time, but then we move on. Some people are even going to let you down, disappoint you, reject you. But Jesus says, abide in my love. That means my love is never going anywhere. You can trust it today. You can trust it tomorrow. You can trust it for eternity. It will always be there. To abide means that where you live, that's where you live, not where you visit occasionally. Abide in me and abide in my love. And then what he wants us to know is, because there's no difference between the two. If you abide in Christ, it is because of your love. When you come to Jesus, you recognize nobody has ever loved me the way you love me. And then the Bible describes what the love of the Lord is like. It's found in the passage we read together a few moments ago. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What does this passage tell you? It tells you all kinds of things you need to know about the love of God. It tells you that the Lord's love is real, that the Lord's love is constant, that the Lord's love is merciful, that the Lord's love is compassionate, that it protects, it preserves, it is fresh, it is rich, it is renewing. It never ends. Of all the descriptions of the Lord's love in the Bible, there is none that I like more than the promise of Lamentations when he says, his mercies are new every morning. Every day, excuse me, I'm a little choked today. Every day is a new beginning. I said, I'm a little choked this morning, and everybody out here thought, did I touch him? I'm just a little choked this morning. Every day is a new beginning. Every time you wake up in the morning, this is what the Bible says. His mercy is already there waiting for you. How powerful is that? His mercy is always there. I love the way the ESV translation expresses this passage. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. What do you need to know? The steadfast love of the Lord never ends. Is it any wonder this passage ends with a heart cry that says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you that every day I get up and your mercy is waiting for me. Thank you that it's there all day long. Thank you that I don't have to live a perfect life to be loved by God. Thank you that when I mess up, I can come right to you. I don't have to run. I don't have to hide. I don't have to pretend. I can confess it, and you can deal with it, and it's gone. Thank you for the steadfast love of the Lord. But the Bible says we're called to do more than just experience God's love. We are called to express God's love. Once we know the steadfast love of the Lord, once we recognize his faithfulness is great, that his mercies are new every morning, then we've experienced the kind of love that we can allow to flow through us into the lives of other people. John 13:34, Jesus declared, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, then you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples. I cannot tell you how many people I've met over the course of my lifetime who have said, I'm afraid to share my faith with somebody. I'm afraid they'll have a question that I can't answer. I'm afraid there'll be a scripture that I can't quote. I'm afraid that I won't do it right, so I better not do it at all. Jesus says, by this they will know that you're my disciples. By the love that is evident in your life. Because long after your answers have been given and long after your scriptures have been quoted, they're going to understand, I met somebody who was different because the love of Jesus was evident in their life. We are called to let it flow. We are not called to keep it to ourselves. We're to let it flow through ourselves and into the people around us. If you try to keep his love for yourself, you know, I've experienced this thing and it's so wonderful, but let's just keep it with just me and Jesus, just me and Jesus. We have this special thing going and nobody else needs to be let in and nobody else needs to be a part of it. It's just us. Then the love of God inside of you will become like stagnant water in a pool without an outlet. It will just continue to grow old and useless. You got to let it flow. No wonder the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul is plain, isn't he? Paul is saying you can have every spiritual expression anybody could imagine. You can give away and sacrifice everything that anybody could ask. You can follow every rule that anybody could make. But if there's no love, then nothing's there. If Jesus is Lord, then I experience his love. And if I experience his love, I find a way to pass it on into somebody else's life. So how do we reveal the love of the Lord? We reach out to one another. We encourage the people around us. We speak the truth in love. We love when nobody is looking. We love when nobody's ever going to know. We love mercifully. We love abundantly. We remember what 1 Corinthians promised in verse 8 when it said, love never fails. Let me show you what I mean. Family moved into a new city. The beginning of the year, they had kind of finished up Christmas in one city, and now a job opportunity had moved them to another, and they were excited about it. They were excited about the city they were moving in. They were excited about the opportunities in front of them. They were excited about the new things they were going to experience, but they had one concern. You see, they had an 8-year-old daughter, and they were really concerned, how is this going to affect our daughter as we take her to a brand new town? They enrolled her in school and she began to experience exactly what they were afraid of. You see, it's the middle of the year. Everybody's already made their friends. Everybody already has their circle that they sit with. So over those first few weeks, she found herself sitting by herself when it was time for lunch. She would hear other girls talking about birthday parties that she hadn't been invited to. It wasn't really that they wanted to leave her out. They just left her out. There were times when she would see people exchanging invitations to a sleepover, and she would know she was not going to get to come. She just had to figure out, how in the world am I going to break through in this new place? As February rolled around, she had this great idea. She came to her mother and she said, this is what I'm going to do. She said, on Valentine's Day at my school, we're going to exchange Valentines with each other and everybody's going to buy cards. And I want to make a homemade Valentine for everybody in my class. I want to make sure that everybody has one that I made especially for them. And it took, over a week for her to sit down at night after homework was done, and she would begin to work on these Valentines that she wanted to give away, until finally Valentine's Day came and she loaded them in a bag and she carried them off to school. Her mom worried all day long. So what happens if she gives away all these Valentines that she's worked so hard on and nobody gives anything to her? What if everybody else just gives their cards to their friends and she's left out? It's just going to be devastating. Time came for the end of school and the school bus that would bring her home, and her mom stood at the window at the door by the front door of the house and just watched for her to come. And Sure enough, in a little while, the bus pulled up and the doors opened and the little girl came out. And as she's walking down the sidewalk toward the house, her mom begins to hear her talking to herself. And this is what she's saying. Not one. Not one. Not one. Her mom's heart's broken. But then she gets to her mom and she looks up and there's this huge smile on her face. And she says, Mom, I didn't forget anybody. Everybody got a card. Not one was missing. That's what it means to show the love of Jesus. Love never fails. And the Bible tells us that the love of the Lord is an unstoppable force. It never gives up. It's never overcome. It transforms everything it's allowed to touch. When you truly experience His love, your life is changed. He loves you. He saves you. He will always be with you. His love will overcome any obstacle. He will see you through any storm. You never have to doubt His presence or the power of His love. I can't think of a better way to begin winding down this message than to hear these incredible words from the book of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from His love. So this is the message I have to share to you with you this morning, straight from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and me. Are you ready? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me. This I know, as He loved so long ago, taking children on His knee, saying, "Let them come to Me." Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide, He will wash away my sin. Let His little child come in. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for Thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Have you experienced that kind of love in your life? The eternal love of a Savior who came and lived and died and rose again, so that you might be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're the one in 100. You're the one that feels like you've wandered away. You don't know how to get back to God. You're lost. But He's looking for you. He's got your name on His mind and He's got you on His heart. And He wants nothing more than to save you. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to know. You got a Savior looking for you. And today you can be saved. In a minute when we stand and we sing our invitation hymn, you can come. I'll be here at the front. Rich will be here at the front. Either one of us would love to talk to you about how you can know the Jesus who loves you so. Or maybe He's calling you to become part of First Baptist Church, of what God is doing and how God is ministering through this place. And you just want to plant yourself and be part of what He's all about. Maybe there's another decision that you need to make to get your life right back into the center of His love. Is there a reason you need to come this morning? We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you need to come, this is your time. You come. Let's stand. Let's sing.